If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
It's always a pleasure to welcome my next guest, Phil Donlon, who has come on to talk about movies, about growing up in Bridgeport, about being in various television shows, about making his own movie, and now being the executive producer of what I found a good, very good series on Amazon Prime, Killing Grounds, The Gilgo Beach Murders, a four-part documentary series that started a few days ago. Phil, how are ya?
Rick, it's always great to be back on your show. Thanks for having me. And you're right, this is a great show. I've been listening. And to have the Fitzpatricks on, I mean, come on, it doesn't get any more Chicago.
No, I was talking about your movie being a great movie, not this show being a great show.
Talk about how great your show is, Rick. Come on.
How did you become, Phil, how did you get involved in this series?
Well, that's a great question. My literary agent and producing agent, Matt Oshacker, is a part of a company called Nacelle. It's a studio, and they also have a talent division. And sometime on the back end of the pandemic, Nacelle is known for their comedy specials. They do a lot of pop culture documentaries, mm-hmm. like The Toys That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us. It's all stuff you've seen. If you've seen the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix, they've done. So Brian Volkweitz, who's the president, gave us the permission to start sort of like a true crime division of the company. It's not a space he really knew a lot about, and they hadn't tapped into it, and that was becoming quite a market out here in the industry. It's kind of my thing, and it was Matt's, and it is still Matt's. So we started into that territory, and we would get a lot of law enforcement, a lot of FBI, like Jack Riley, former head of the DEA. We'd get people sort of calling us and pitching us their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of became a thing. And then as we started selling stuff, we would get more, we would get more people calling us saying, hey, we were told you're the guys.
Sure.
So got a call. This was back, I want to say this is probably very early 2023, maybe end of 2022, from an FBI agent named Adrian Corson. And she did forensic work on this case. And when she called, it was through a referral. And she said, I have about five different cases I've worked on. I'd like to pitch you the five cases to see if you guys are interested in making something, whether it be a doc series or a narrative. And we said, go ahead. So she pitched us quite a number of her really, really cool cases. I had never heard of the Long Island serial killer, had no clue that he had been killing for 30 years.
Yeah.
And we got off, and, Matt said, well, what do you think? And I said, it's for sure the Long Island serial killer case. I'm like, I don't know a lot about it, but I'm going to find out. And it sounds highly interesting because at that point it was still unsolved.
Sure, exactly.
And she sort of talked about who she thought it was and filled us in on the police corruption and all. And I was like, this is utterly amazing. And so that's how it began. So we started putting the project together for probably about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was really per se interested in it. We knew it was going to be a lot of heavy lifting involved.
No question.
However, I want to say maybe it was like July 12th to 13th of 2023, whenever Rex Heuermann got arrested.
Right.
Which actually was the day of my brother's wedding. I was in Chicago actually officiating the, the wedding.
And I'm busy.
You don't want to know. That's a whole other conversation. You don't want to know about me officiating a wedding. So I get a call the next day. And we had more pitch meetings than we could shake a stick at. I mean, everybody.
Did you? How did you?
Wanted to meet with us.
Of course. I mean, how did you go about raising the funds for this?
Amazon paid for it. So we actually had a bidding war going because we had like Peacock wanted it. Amazon wanted it, I believe.
There could have been others. I mean, one of the things that strikes me.
It was like four places.
One of the things that strikes me, Phil, in reviewing this, and I'm giving it a very favorable review in Tuesday's paper, is that this increasing fascination that the world, you know, we live in a world at a time where mass murders and serial killers are about as common as wildfires or tornadoes. I mean, and the desire to consume this stuff is almost insatiable. I mean, you could come up with millions. There was another one. There's a four-part series. There was a four-part series on Peacock, produced by, you know, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson's company, that is streaming there. There have been other things. This one, what characterizes this one, what characterizes Killing Grounds, and the reason I liked it, and I almost hate to say liked movies about such horrors, is that this one really does, and tell me if I'm wrong, Phil Dunlan, this one really does focus on the victims.
Yeah, no, you're 1,000% correct on that. And that was when Adrian ran the forensics or assisted in the forensics on the case.
Yeah.
And when she came on and we decided we were going to do this, she made it very clear from the beginning, I don't want it to be about Rex Uhrman.
That's great.
She didn't want to do anything salacious. Ultimately, I think the doc does reflect that, and that's a credit to Emma. That was always the idea. We wanted it to be focused on the victims and the victims' family. We wanted to attempt to give them some closure if we could. I mean, that's a tall order.
Yes, it is.
But we wanted to at least, if anything, sort of open the door for that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people were the making of it to talk about. I mean, I got a huge lesson in producing in this one in particular, because it's one thing to do something like after a case has been closed, but while a case is going on, there's an active investigation happening, it is so difficult to get anyone in front of the camera, and especially a lot of the people that we were trying to get a hold of. A lot of these people were destitute, so they'd have a phone one day and not the next day, and they said they'd show up and they wouldn't. You know, it was a very difficult process, but that's what we really wanted to set out to
do. I think you did it, because because the other way to have done it is to do what 50 Cent did and his people, and I don't begrudge them this, but you know, from all reports, they gave Huerman's wife, she changed her name and got divorced, his ex-wife and his daughter, something in the neighborhood of $1 million to have access to them and access to the house itself, which makes for a vastly different show. The reason I like Killing Ground so much is it's about the victims. I mean, it's still very compelling. I have on the phone from L.A., I'm assuming, my pal Phil Dunlan, who is one of the executive producers of what I think is one of the best of these kind of, let's all take a look at a serial killer or mass murder shows that are frequently on TV. It's called Killing Grounds, the Gilgo Beach Murders, a four-part documentary that premiered a few days ago on Amazon Prime. You can watch it now. It's only, each episode's only about an hour long, so it's easily digestible. And it will tell you a lot of stuff. How did you react? How did you and your other producers and the whole gang react when Huerman decided that he was going to plead guilty 2 weeks ago. How did you guys react to that?
I haven't had a chance to talk with anyone else and what they thought. But as far as the, I mean, you know, you sort of hear this stuff because I still get emails from the DA's office. You know, I get emails from all the news media people in New York about this case. So you sort of get this information coming down the pipe prior, like, hey, this is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
We had heard about it more in advance. I think it was expected, and I think that's sort of a little bit kind of wink-wink that in the doc.
Right. You do. You cover it. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Tierney knew. Tierney, I'll tell you something. Ray Tierney is a what a DA, man.
No kidding.
He made it. He's like, I'm taking care of this, and I'm doing it, and he did, and he was very confident. And everything was watertight. I just wanted, you brought up something interesting, and I just right before the break that I wanted to mention, which is you brought up the Peacock version and what makes our version different. And it kind of goes back to the difficulty in the version we made that we had, because we're trying to, well, we didn't try, we did, but at the time, what we were trying to do with a non-salacious
exactly piece, right,
that could really try to do some good and get a real conversation going. And now, what happens when these cases come out? You've got DMZ doing one. You've got Nancy Grace. You've got
of
all
course.
Of these, and it becomes a salacious cash grab. So now you've got all these family members, and they're being thrown dollar figures at them. Everybody's calling them off the hook. They don't know who to trust, and I had, so before we even hired the director, I was tasked with Adrian by Amazon to start getting people to commit that could be interviewed in the documentary.
Sure.
So I have a firsthand story here about Rex Huerman's wife and her attorney. I butcher his last name. I think it's Robert Mandocino.
Right.
So I call this guy. He's a divorce attorney, Rick.
I know.
I call this guy, and he's acting as if he's her agent, and he's like at CAA.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I call it. I say, hey, we'd love to have her involved. This is what we're doing. And he cuts me up. He goes, Phil, let me tell you what I need. And I go, okay. And this is like the conversation I'm having. And I'm not adverse, being from the south side of Chicago,
sure.
You know, dealing with neighborhood guys.
Yeah.
Okay. This was still a little surprised. He goes, I'll tell you what I need, Phil. And I go, what do you need, Robert? He goes, $1 million.
Yeah.
And I go, that's insane. Yeah. That's insane. No one's going to give you $1 million for her interview. He goes, listen, I'm looking at offers. I mean, this guy was like a used car salesman and then some. And that's all he cared about.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't care so much about her getting her story out. He wanted $1 million.
Well, you've seen it. These things become like a feeding frenzy. The next killer comes around. Why do you think, Phil, let me ask you, you're in the business and you're a human being. Why do you think people, normal people, TV viewers, a guy sitting on his couch in Tinley Park, why do you think there is such an appetite for these kinds of stories? I've heard a number of theories that, for instance, that we are just innately curious and derive thrills by exploring the dark side of humanity, or that we learn some kind of lessons from these things. What do you think it is?
Well, first off, the most surprising thing I found out during making this is that women are the number one audience of this type of material, which blew me away and surprised me.
Yeah.
And when I would start telling people about what I was working on, if there were any women nearby or in the group, if I was at a bar and there was a woman sitting there, I know all about it, would turn around and start telling me about it. I mean, it was absolutely fascinating. But, you know, it's the only way I can put it is this. There's another project I've been pitching, and it's with an FBI agent who ran the only successful federal child human trafficking bust here in America. We have been trying to get that made, and no one will touch that because they say, it's too dark, we can't do it. But on the other hand, chopping up arms and legs and torsos and heads of women and bears, that's not too dark. It's pretty a dark. Weird fascination. So I think because the child trafficking thing, people believe that could actually happen to them right now. And then that for some reason, the serial killer thing is a little more arm's length. I don't know. But good... it is an interesting thing in the human psyche to evaluate, no doubt.
Now that you are, don't tell me you're going to leave acting, are you, Phil?
No, I mean, and I really appreciate you, you know, having me on to talk about all the stuff I'm doing. You know, people ask me, and you know, I just say, look, I'm a storyteller, man. You know, it's like it's whether I'm in front of the camera, or behind, as long as I'm telling a story and a story that I believe in, I'm good. You know, so it doesn't really matter what the
specific role in that is. What is the name? One of the most interesting and popular segments I've ever done on this show is the one that you were involved in. And I think the movie was called Hot Shots. Is that the name of the movie?
It's Hot Shots. It's Hot Shots is the Charlie Sheen Rambo spoof.
Oh.
And I don't want to give any more money.
No, I don't
Charlie
want to give
Sheen.
Money. What was you were involved in an amazing documentary about the trouble of wildfires, specifically in California.
Yes.
What's the name of that? How do people find that?
Hot Shot. Hot Shot. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Apple, Roku, and it's getting a new life because out here in L.A., there's this reality TV star, Spencer Pratt, who's running for mayor. It's a big deal.
Wow.
And he was just on Joe Rogan, like, I think last week or the week before, and he talked about how he sort of woke up, because his house burned down in the Palisades fire.
Yeah.
He sort of said, I woke up to the corruption of, you know, all of everything because I watched a documentary called Hot Shot. He actually talks about it.
Wow. It's amazing. You know, I got so much feedback from that show, and this was a few years ago, and now it's even, excuse the pun, it's even a hotter topic out there. The movie is called Hot Shot. The movie this four-part series we're talking about is called Killing Grounds, the Gilgo Beach Murders, a four-part documentary series that focuses on the lives of these tragic women who were slaughtered, actually, not just killed, slaughtered by this beast from Long Island. Phil, it's always great to talk to you. The review will be in Tuesday's paper, and keep me posted on your varied, wild, wonderful career.
Rick, tell Gibson's I say hello and save a martini for me. I'll see you soon, pal.
Gibson's, yes, like all movie stars. All right, Phil, take care. See ya.